My name's Vanessa Van Lee, CEO of We Are Tech Women. I am delighted to welcome you to season 4 of our podcast. During this season, you can expect much of the fantastic content that we gave you in the last. Inspirational stories of men and women who have succeeded in their careers. Insights into a myriad of tech topics, bringing you both innovation and inspiration. It's going to be a bumper series and we hope you enjoy it. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Dr. Pippa Malgram, a former presidential advisor and a prominent public speaker who co-founded H-Robotics. In this fantastic talk, Pippa shares her thoughts and predictions for the future economy and how much tech will play a pivotal role. Pippa explains how she believes that we're seeing a huge boost of capital for entrepreneurs and how the pandemic will lead to incredible opportunities for businesses as we build back better. Pippa also shares her expertise on drones as a CEO of a drone company, and she shares some amazing insights into the journey of drones since 1946 and electric cars in the 1800s. Pippa talks about the democratization of airspace, how governments are using drones to gather data, and how biotech companies are using the smallest drones to deliver medicines inside your body.
So I thought I'd start by talking a little bit about where we are in the world economy, because so many people in the startup space or running small companies, they're so unnerved, of course, by everything that's happened. It's an extraordinary moment in history where looking back at the past doesn't really help you understand what's probable or even possible in the future. So let me just lay a few things down that might be helpful in putting your mind at ease that you should persist in your efforts to build whatever it is that you're building. The first is we're going to come out of this pandemic with such a low level of economic activity that frankly, you know, one purchase off of Uber Eats starts to drive up the numbers. Like as soon as people start to come back out again and be active, I think we're going to see a significant jump in the GDP numbers. And that alone will make people feel a little bit better. But there's something much bigger going on. And that is there's a record amount of capital now in the world economy. Governments have thrown money at the pandemic situation. And the result is that all the investors are loaded with cash. And my experience during lockdown dealing with the investor community and with tech startups is that deals are definitely happening. Companies are getting funded. Actually, business models are better and stronger than ever before, because one thing the pandemic did was force people to reconsider, do I have the right business model? Is that really going to work going forward? And we have also got a much higher level of resiliency now. People have really planned for the worst, and therefore it's going to be easier to perform when the worst conditions aren't bearing down on us. So number one is there is money out there and it's looking for a home. I think we're starting to see a little bit of inflation in the world economy, meaning prices are starting to rise a little bit. That's partly a function of the global supply chain being broken at both ends, you know, the supply and the demand end, the China and the West end of the spectrum. And what that really means is that there's a shortening of supply chains. People want to work with a local supplier these days. The demand for product isn't just based on, is it the cheapest thing? Now it's also, can I have a conversation with these people so that what I'm buying can be fixed, altered, modified? I can have some input into what it does. And so the nature of the dialogue with your clients becomes much more important in this environment. And the demand for what you're doing, I think, is higher now than it was prior to the pandemic for that reason. So what I see is a wave of entrepreneurial energy being unleashed into the world economy. That's partly because so many businesses cracked up and didn't survive the pandemic, but partly because people are really rethinking now what's required. And do they want to work for a big company, or do they want to create something of their own that gives them more security, more financial security over time, and maybe more excitement in the short run? And usually when you have a record amount of money looking for a home and a record wave of entrepreneurs trying to produce companies that can put that money to work, they're going to find each other. So I predict that we're actually coming into a period of really much stronger opportunity than most people would have guessed a pandemic might leave you with. And maybe that's not so different from what happened in the 1920s when the recovery from the Spanish flu and World War I really took off, and we ended up with the Great Gatsby to tell us about those days of champagne swilling. Now, in the drone space, which is the field that I've been involved in, I see three things that I wanted to leave you with in the conversation today. And the number one is, just because a product is amazing or a technology is amazing, doesn't necessarily mean people will use it. This is such a hard lesson for anybody in technology, because you think it's so phenomenal, this thing, whatever it is. But, you know, drones were around. I mean, do you know how Marilyn Monroe was discovered? She was working on a drone production line in 1942. We've had drones since 1942. That was when the first mass production drone was coming off an assembly line. Initially, of course, they were used for military purposes, but this technology has been around. Now, there have been massive advancements, and it's been heavily democratized as it's been miniaturized, as it's been made basically put in reach of the general public. And that's very much thanks to the Chinese in the recent decade. But even still, in the drone space, we don't see major corporations yet fully deploying them. They're not reviewing their assets with them, even though it would be so easy for them to do so. In fact, they haven't even got permissions yet from the regulators to be able to fly drones, even over their own properties. And so I see a number of very large major corporate names that are now really pushing hard in the regulatory space so they can get the permissions needed to actually do the work from an aerial perspective. It's crazy, but, you know, here's another example. When were electric cars invented? The first one was built in London in 1884. And when they first came out, they were kind of considered ladies' cars. Actually, I'm proud of that. I think they are ladies' cars. I would have been very happy to drive an electric car from 1884 onwards. I don't know why it's taken us this long to get back to something that's more sustainable for the planet. And delighted if the guys want to drive them too. But it just goes to show you, just because your product is amazing doesn't mean humans will use it. So that takes me to the second issue in drones and technology, and that is storytelling. As much as it sounds strange, storytelling matters at least as much as your product, and probably more. It's the way you describe what it does. So as an example, you know, I've been in the drone space for like 6 years. And when you explain the details of, you know, here's the motor and here's the engine, here's how it works, here's the flight characteristics, doesn't turn anybody on, does not get them excited about it. But when I say, look, you know what drones are? Drones are prosthetics. They literally allow your eyes to gather information from the other side of the planet. They literally allow you to be as if you were somewhere else and see an asset, whether that be a highway or a bridge or a farm, a manufacturing facility, whatever it is. You can see it with more precision and clarity via a drone than if you were standing there and looking at it with your own two eyes. Okay, now we have like teleportation. We literally projecting human sensory perception to vastly faraway places. Now, when you talk about it that way, people start to go, we should be doing that. I mean, if you own an agribusiness in Asia, or you have a mining site in Australia, why are you doing those inspections by having some poor person walk around that site, a mining site in Australia, in 40 degree heat with snakes, spiders, the risk of heat stroke bearing down on you? Or you could have an autonomous aerial vehicle that you can control, even if you don't actually hit the button that makes it go because the regulators won't let you yet, But you can send an instruction. Somebody on the ground over there sends it up. It's autonomous, which means the data it gathers is actually consistent over time. And now you have the capacity to see problems developing, really small micro problems, that by the time your eye can see it, it's too late. You have too much of a problem and it's going to be more expensive and more difficult to fix at that time. So the way you tell your story about your technology is everything. And I'm going to be launching a business in this space using artificial intelligence to support human ingenuity in their storytelling. So if this is of interest to you, talk to Vanessa and reach out to me. We're going to be teaching people how to tell their stories much better. And then the last thing I wanted to say about drones is that some incredible events are happening in the world today that have to do with the democratization of access to the airspace. You know, when I look at it from a strategic security point of view, wars and conflicts have traditionally been about initially territory and then about who controlled the high seas, right? So it was about land power, then it was about sea power. For the last 100 or so years, it's been about air power, as in aircraft, and all our major conflicts have really been determined by aircraft. Now it's much more about data power. And so gathering data, assessing data, understanding what data tells you about who you've collected it from, that's the new focus for governments. And that's where a lot of government spending is going to happen. Now, one of the tools for gathering that kind of data is in the drone space. And what I see is drones of multiple different kinds are being deployed to gather data. You know, at one end of the spectrum, we always think of drones as the thing that, you know, it's like a children's toy. But a nano version of a drone can be literally placed inside the human body, travel through the human body, and deliver a medicine to a particular organ or a particular tumor in a particular location. That's an autonomous vehicle. So that's a version. And at the other end of the spectrum, the recent Mars rover activity has been fascinating because we saw the first drone deployed on another planet, literally. And I love the name they picked for it. The name of the drone is Ingenuity. I mean, how fantastic. So now we have the capacity to see what's happening on the ground on Mars, not just because we have landed, you know, traditional spacecraft, but from that traditional spacecraft, we've been able to launch a drone. And let's not forget that all these satellites that are going up, you know, Starlink, Elon Musk, this massive competition now to get satellites into space. They're all the size of a shoebox. And we're literally populating near space with drones, with data gathering devices that are autonomous and independent of human control. And so one of the things to think about is, what's the definition of the technology that you're operating in? In the world of drones, you say the word drone, people immediately think of a toy. Is that correct? Is that really where we are? It isn't. So I would advise you to think hard about, what is the story that you're telling about the technology that you're involved in? What is the language? Is it really conveying what's going on, what your company, what your innovation is about? And do all of this with a sense of greater confidence than maybe you had before, that if you get that right, then your amazing technology is more likely to actually be used by humans. Because the key is the story that you tell them about how and why it's going to transform their lives. And if we do it against the backdrop of a recovery, well, my bet is we're going to see some extraordinary technology companies come to life in the near future. We'll look back at the pandemic and say that far from being a total disaster, it was actually its own incubation zone for ideas, for entrepreneurial energy, for capital to be deployed in the right direction. So I will leave you with that. We're on strict time limits, but I wish you all well. And I look forward to seeing what are the companies and technologies that you're going to be launching into the marketplace. Thank you so much, Vanessa, for inviting me.
Pippa, wow, what a session. That was incredible. I cannot thank you enough for being a guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Pippa, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please subscribe and give our podcast that all-important 5-star rating and keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech.